Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Jeremy White.
I think everybody knows someone that does this, or
I think I know what you're about to say. And
wears shorts every single day, no matter what.
Yes.
And Joe DiBiase.
Everybody knows someone that does this. They wear shorts 365.
Hypothermia? We're like hypospermia.
Listen, if none of my friends are going to do it, I'm going to be the guy that wears shorts all the time.
I don't fear the cold. The cold fears me.
All situations, except like weddings. You know, at that point, lean into it.
He's got a pair of shorts.
You get to the wedding, the bride. What's going on with your buddy there? Oh, he's a shorts every day guy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, shorts report. I'm in shorts.
On. Shorts on. I guess I'm the odd man out there.
Pants.
Pants. It was 50 degrees when I woke up.
I know.
Yeah, we did close our windows last night.
I saw, and I'm sure this phrase has been used before, but one of the first things I saw this morning, Pat Hammer, Channel 2, friend of the show. Good morning, Mr. Hammer, if you're listening. That today has a chance for the record low high.
What?
A record low.
Low high.
High. Today.
Like it'll be the biggest disparity between the low and the high, or the biggest difference between
no,
the low and the high?
No, that the highest temperature
yeah.
of the day could be the lowest in the history.
Okay,
of the,
I see. Yeah.
So if right. it was 52 as the high, that would be the low high. It wouldn't be the low.
The low high.
But the yeah, better chance of a record low maximum. Yesterday's temperature was 69.
Okay.
But today, record low maximum temperature today.
Okay.
Could happen.
Very fall-like weather, I must say.
Let me tell you. I'm looking at the record, at the high forecast, like 67.
Yeah.
But yeah, through the day, it's in the 50s. Last night, we went for a walk last night. Family walk.
Yeah.
And I put on not just a hoodie.
Yeah.
Not just one of those.
Uh-huh.
But I put on a hoodie.
Thick, like the
warm.
Cotton hoodie.
Soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cozy fire. Campfire.
Not your thin
no.
like golf hoodie
right.
material, whatever.
Not a QZ.
Yeah.
I mean, I put on a hoodie.
Yeah.
And boy, it felt great.
So I went on a boat last night. We did not. I guess we stuck with it. It was worth it.
You wore a parka?
We had. There were a couple of the girls were wearing parkas. We didn't do anything crazy. Like, not on the open water because it would have been freezing. We just little cruise up the canal. And I had, like, same as you, pants on, hoodie, and then the windbreaker or, like, spring jacket over the sweatshirt on top of everything. And it felt like fall. And it felt like I should be getting ready to be mad about the Sabres losing to the Devils 5-2 that night. That's how, and that the Bills are in like week six of their season. Like, yeah. It felt like I was in the middle of October. It was great. Glorious.
It is. Listen, it's nice. Yeah, so the record for today, the record low.
The low high?
Something.
The high low.
No.
The low high. It was the low high.
Yeah, we usually talk low lows and high highs. The other ones are. So the highest daytime temp was 65 in 1940. That's the lowest high of this day.
65.
And today the forecast is 65.
All right.
So.
Are we battling it out over decimal points to see if it's the record?
Maybe. Let's get Gene Steratore. Gene, could you take a look at the thermometer, please, and let us know what it says? So anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Mid-October-like.
Yes.
Love it. It's football weather. I'm getting my fantasy drafts on the board.
Nice.
I woke up to a trade. You think that's ever happened in the NFL?
Immediately you say I woke up to a trade, and I'm immediately wondering, is it in any of the leagues that I am in with you?
No,
I think it's only one or two.
It's not. It's not.
Okay. All right.
I had, I wonder how much, one of my favorite things to do is talk about how fantasy football trades and dynasty is not that different from actual football trades, where you're just texting people and saying, like, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? The difference is we don't hold press conferences and talk about the process that we got there.
Yeah. We also don't have to tell the person they've been traded.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That helps.
Like, I don't have to tell you today that I've been seeking Gus Edwards since I scouted him in college, which is what an NFL GM would do if he traded for Gus Edwards today.
Right.
But, I had a couple of trades out there in the Dynasty verse with the guys on my street and woke up to trade accepted. So, all right.
Nice.
Good to go. Does Brandon Bean ever do that? Hey, give me a call in the morning if you like it, or fire the email. Wakes up, opens the email.
There it is.
Oh, we got Diggs.
Does he have a system where he just can hit the accept button?
Yeah, the NFL should have that. They have to make a call. How come that's not modernized? To just make it a website. Click yes.
They still have to fax a piece of paper in that says the trade is done?
Yeah. In the NHL,
shouldn't there be a website?
The famous trade call in the NHL?
Yeah. Shouldn't there be a website that everybody has access to that can see it?
Yeah.
Like, hey, the Bills just made a trade. It's like an automated Twitter account, too, that's connected to social media where, like, the second Bean hits the accept button on his trade, like, this goes quicker than Schefter and Rappaport. Just boom, there's NFL trade bot, like the official NFL trade bot with Bills have traded blank second round pick to San Francisco for Brandon Ayuk. And there it is, before anyone else learns about it.
I like it.
It'd be great.
I'm into it. Hey, they do. They might need a receiver. Injuries.
They'll need somebody.
Listen.
Yeah.
This.
It's growing. A growing list.
You don't want to say.
They have a quarterback, though, now.
They have a quarterback. On the preseason, is this the worst preseason ever? Let's debate it. Let me give you one case for it, okay?
Okay.
One case for it is, aren't they upset they have to waste their time with this third game?
It feels like even their actions are telling you they don't want to play it.
They got to spin up Ben DiNucci to hand the ball off 60 times.
Yep.
How many passes will there be in this game? What will the over under be in this game?
Ooh,
21. Will Ben DiNucci be allowed to throw a pass?
He went in at the 2 minute warning of the second quarter. On this past Saturday, do you know how many passes he attempted in the last game?
Was it two?
It was five.
Five. Okay.
In more than two quarters, including a two-minute drill where you would expect, I think, that there would be passing situations.
Listen.
He had five.
If I'm Ben DiNucci, I'm doing one thing this week. I'm getting the guys together, and I'm saying, we're audibling and we're calling passes on every play.
We're going to let it fly.
We're going to let it rip.
They're not going to be ready for
it. Listen to me, KJ Hamler, Tyrell Shavers. Like, if you want to make this team, you got to catch balls. I'm throwing them.
I mean, if you're Ben DiNucci, isn't this your last chance to really make it in the NFL?
If you have a chance.
Don't you want to let it loose? Rip it down the field a little bit? Show off? You've been playing quarterback your whole life, building up for this moment. Come on, Ben.
Well, he actually has played in the NFL.
He played one game.
I mean, that's the moment.
He got into a game. But that was 4 years ago. Like, this is it. This is the last ride.
The Bills have also added Anthony Brown at quarterback. He has played in two games in his NFL career. Started one for Baltimore. 22 for 49. 300 yards. How about that for a Bills drought stat? How about that? Remember living the life of all the quarterbacks that threw for 300 yards? Anthony Brown threw for 300 yards. He had two games. One started.
Okay.
Maybe there was over the course. I got to look for a game log. It's odd when you find someone's stat line, and it says 300 yards in one game, but he did not throw for – did he throw for 300? No, sorry, 286.
I mean, still.
He's for 280.
It's pretty good.
Anthony Brown, in his lone NFL start, threw for more yards than 97% of the Bills' drought quarterbacks.
All right.
286, no touchdowns, two picks.
Well, despite that, I'm not worried enough to not place this current wager on the under 31.5 points for Saturday's game against the Panthers.
That's where we're at?
31.5.
Okay.
Feels like a lock. Come on. How many points are the Bills going to score? Are they going to go the whole preseason without scoring a touchdown? That is not, by the way, the reason I would say it would be the worst preseason of all time.
I'm going to want to slot in two Joe Andreessen defensive scores. That's possible.
Yep.
Man, the injuries are tough. Okay, so the full injury rundown. Giving you a full rundown, there's a couple of names you might not even know these guys, or some players are improving. But the news from yesterday, Trubisky, weeks. MVS, weeks. Quentin Morris, weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that good news for on the roster? For Trubisky, it's clearly good news for either Ben DiNucci or Anthony Brown.
Mm-hmm.
For MVS, that's probably good news for Shavers.
Good for Shavers and maybe... Well, no, that's good for Shavers.
Demir Bird and Deion Kane.
Tall guy outside. I think Shavers is the guy I think of.
For Quentin Morris, it's probably good news for Zach Davidson, who has a shot to make this team.
Sal's been on Davidson really since the start of camp.
Yep.
So he led them in receiving last week with one catch for 27 yards.
Yeah. We'll talk with Sal at 7 o'clock. Damar Hamlin, week to week with a hamstring issue. The Bills have no safeties.
That's not good for anybody.
They have Taylor Rapp and nobody else.
Yeah.
Baylen Spector, week to week. Curtis Samuel, turf toe.
We talked about yesterday, we were together when we saw that, like, who is that good for? Who else does the Samuel plays, the Samuel stuff? Is Hamler the closest you get? KJ Hamler? Andy Isabella? They don't have another guy like Curtis Samuel. Few teams, I guess, have a guy like that could play every position, line up in the backfield, jet sweep stuff. I guess Hamler that's good for to begin the year. PFF loved Hamler on Saturday. He was like one of their highest graded guys. So maybe I guess he's the name at this point.
I guess,
but you're thin.
You're
no MVS, no Curtis Samuel. I mean, it's not even a competition, right? Like, if that's your injury list going into week one, then you've got three wide receivers you probably feel, I don't want to say even trustworthy, just, is there any competition? It's Hollins, Coleman, and Shakir, not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
Shavers is playing in week one, I think, after those three. Or, like I said, if they want to do some of the Samuel plays with, like, Hamler, then I guess you're at a guy that we went into camp thinking wasn't going to make the roster.
Starting.
A guy that you did not list as one of your six going into training camp.
Despite being a big fan.
Is playing.
Yeah.
Not just making the team, but probably playing snaps against the Cardinals.
Yeah, the injuries. I mean, the receiver position might not even be your greatest concern for the injuries.
Keys, by the way, is another injured receiver that was a little further down that list.
I'd be more concerned about safety. At safety, they have problems. I mean...
There's no one left.
Mike Edwards, Cole Bishop, these guys are getting, whatever, they're making progress. Sal's got a full rundown at the website, not just of the injured guys, but of their progress. And on Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards, here's what he writes as the update. For Mike Edwards, he's missed all the way back to minicamp. He's been out multiple weeks. He will take part in a walkthrough and individual work this week. And the same is true of Cole Bishop.
Okay.
So those two are at least getting closer. And if we're being... looking at the season, it is still multiple weeks away. If you're going to miss 3 weeks, that puts you just behind the opener. Worth pointing out, the Bills do play two games in 4 days, 5 days. They play week one on the 8th, and then they play Miami on the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody trying to come back from an injury that's week to week, like think about a Curtis Samuel here, who is week to week.
Isn't turf toe one of those nagging injuries, too?
It is. I don't know if we're going to get into a spot where Gabe Davis's entire season was written off because he had an ankle injury.
That's going to be Samuel.
That happened with Davis where, I mean, who even knows? Well, he wasn't the same guy. Next year, he'll be a different player because his ankle won't be hurt. I don't know if people are going to build that in for Samuel, but yeah, turf toe is generally said to be the kind of thing that lingers.
Right.
So, okay, he's battling that. It's just... It's obviously not ideal. A lot of teams battle injuries. A lot of teams deal with a lot of things. But this is a long list for a preseason.
Yeah. safety. Are we going to inevitably get a bunch of Micah Hyde questions over the next week, by the way?
How do you not
get the questions?
Well, Edwards and Bishop making their progress. Back. I mean, are they tracking toward the opener? They probably could, right? They're both going to participate in individual drills and take part in walkthroughs.
Yep.
So,
because if not, you're at D. Delaney, Kendall Williamson, and Kareem Jackson. That's where you're at.
Yeah.
Guys that you've maybe just been hearing about for the first time as I just read those names off. Some of them. Like, they're just, safety is, it's tough if Bishop or Edwards can't get back. Remember last year, you know, it can go well too. Bernard missed all of basically training camp in the preseason last year. And I remember it being almost surprising that they just said, after all of that, yeah, we're just going to throw him in there. He's going to start without all the, like, Dodson's been playing in. We've been having this battle, and we're just going to throw Bernard in there, and it was fine the whole time. And could they do that with Edwards or Bishop? Just, hey, we're pretty injured there, and they really haven't had much of an offseason, but yeah, we're just going to throw him in because that's where we're at. Like, we just kind of have to do it. I wonder if that's where we end up. That's safety. Receiver, I don't even know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Pray that one of your small, fast guys can give you anything.
It's probably a year where people would point to the depth being a concern going in, and your depth, you know, what's the famous line? Your depth's great to have until you have to use it. And here they are. It's, you know, weeks before the opener, and they're already digging into their depth.
Hey, if you've been holding out hope for that the Justin Shorter breakout, though, man, now's the time.
Now is the time.
Let's see some signs that there's a player in there.
Well, that gets back to, I mean, trust me, I've called the preseason a waste of time plenty. But this time, aren't the Bills pretty much telling everybody that this is a waste of their time? They have to host this game.
Yeah,
Kids Day. And no starters will play, so maybe those guys will go sign autographs.
Yep.
That'll be nice. But I got Joe Brady spending, what, 1 minute on this game? That's too much. Give it to an assistant. Start getting ready for it. Seriously. Start getting ready for Arizona. Start scouting Arizona. Start scouting Miami. They've got two games, and not that you're going to scout them because there's no games on tape for this year, but start building things for Arizona and Miami now, and a minute spent on Carolina is a minute wasted. Is it not?
I doubt they're spending any real resources on Carolina, right? Well, they're not game planning. They're not doing any of that. So isn't any work they're doing this week just installing or practicing their real offense with whoever is available, and then, oh, we're just going to show up and play Carolina, kind of, on Saturday, where our third-string quarterback, that you probably hope isn't even really their backup quarterback, is going to just hand the ball off. They're not going to spend a lot of time on it, right?
No, the rushing attempt numbers are going to be nuts.
And they, I mean, especially the way now the injury list is going, I mean, we know starters aren't playing. How far down does that reach? Because, like, we know Allen is a starter. I think we know Kincaid is a starter, the lineman. But, man, like, I'm even hesitant to say they should tap into their depth at all. Like, should Dorian Williams play on Saturday?
No. Right?
Right?
No.
Should Kyrie Elam play on Saturday? No. Like, I don't play anybody that I think could be on the field for them in week one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, outside of the kickers,
I guess you could play those safeties that I read off that, like, hey, if somebody needs to play, get a better look at them. But again, you're holding out hope that Edwards or Bishops can kind of avoid that in the first place. So yeah, I don't need to see anybody at all. Then it's tough because they have a lot of injuries in the depth pieces too. I just mentioned that Lawrence Keys receiver that's dealing with an injury, and you mentioned Quinton Morris is dealing with an injury. Like, they have backups that are injured too. But you just gotta, I guess, Zach Davidson play the whole game on Saturday.
One thing that might, all right, if I'm going to go down this road, they don't win the Super Bowl, okay? Like, in this scenario, they don't win the Super Bowl. It's truly a transitional year, like many might expect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that will soften that as, hey, the Bills, they got a wild card. The Jets won the division. They stayed healthy, amazingly. The Jets did, and the Bills didn't. One thing that would soften all that is if they're just banged up all year. If they don't have the depth and they're banged up and Allen plays and he puts out a Herculean effort and they get to 10-7 and finish in the wild card, it will be pretty easy to accept, well, you know, a bunch of injuries. Now they're going to make sure they get more depth. I don't know. Like, this season, it's I always feel like it's July, it's August. It's not the time to say, that you think the team is going to be having a down year. No one really wants to get too mad at them early on. Mm-hmm. And they've earned a lot of benefit of the doubt from the coach, the quarterback, to a lot of the key pieces that are still here. So I fully expect them to be a good team, be a competitive team. But between their lack of depth, now the injuries that are piling up, not to really any big pieces other than Milano. Right, Milano's the big one. The second biggest one is...
I feel like right now it's Samuel.
Okay, but he's you know, week to week. He might be back for the opener. So I've got one really big injury. Then I'm at the safety position, and then we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the feeling around this team is, whew, let's get to the regular season and let's see what this offense can be. Isn't this a year where we're just, I keep saying it, the best case scenario is Joe Brady is a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is, they'll be fine.
How much of a witch can you be, though, if you don't have you, the guys you were planning on
and you don't have the depth to do it.
Yeah, like,
and the fact the point on their depth is like, well, who's MVS? They'll just go to the next man up. Like, yeah. The next man up, maybe they planned on that being Claypool. They worked out Corey Davis. Like, they clearly don't feel great about their options behind MVS or behind even Mac Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the depth to try work with is just, it clearly looks like a challenge.
Yeah, like I'm reminded of, remember the Dolphins at the end of last year when, even think of Week 18 against the Bills. Mike McDaniel, who I think is one of the best play callers in the league, who did he have at his disposal? Because Tyreek Hill was banged up by the end of the year and Waddle had been banged up all year.
Yeah.
Who was on the field for them in that Week 18 game against the Bills? Who was the final target to? It was to Chase Claypool.
Oh.
And they were throwing the ball to River Craycraft, who is still out here, by the way, catching touchdowns for them in the preseason.
He's hurt now.
Is he hurt?
Yeah,
okay.
He got hurt.
But they were at the... Robbie... What are we calling him now?
Robbie Chosen Anderson.
He was out there catching passes. Like, Miami has, I think, one of the best coordinators in the league, and their offense started to falter a little bit at the end of last year, and some of that could be attributed to, well, he's a witch, but what's he supposed to do when you're down to receiver number 5 is out there playing? And... Well, to Brady, to the point on Brady, though, like, he's not at receiver number 5 because he's still got, I mean, 3 guys that would have been thought of as starters or regular contributors that are healthy. You know, like Coleman, Shakir, and Hollins. I mean, and maybe Samuel, maybe he's playing more limited week 1. Like, that's not that far off of what he would have had at his disposal week 1. It's Samuel and how much he can give them and how unique his role was going to be is the real mystery that I'm wondering about. And now I don't know if we're going to have an answer to it. Like, well, we know if he's limited, maybe he's even active, but if he's limited, are we going to have a good idea of what his role was really going to be week 1? Are they going to run it to him in the backfield if he's trying to come back from turf toe?
It's a good question.
I don't, like, how much will they want his, how big will they want his role to be? How unique will they want his role to be if he's not 100% healthy?
Yeah, will they manage him?
All right.
Yeah.
And you don't really have anybody else to play those types of snaps. Maybe Shakir.
Shakir can't do everything.
I know, but like, that's where I'm at.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I feel like he kind of has to do everything.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 is our phone number if you want to get in touch with us. Fantasy football marathon on ESPN this morning. No comment on my Gus.
All day, I think, actually.
On my Gus Edwards acquisition. How do you like it?
What'd you give up for Gus Edwards?
I gave up Michael.
No one's excited to get Gus. I should be excited to see a Gus Edwards trade.
I gave up Michael Wilson, wide receiver in Arizona, second receiver,
yep.
Year two.
Don't you like him?
I have Marvin Harrison Jr. in the same league.
Oh, okay.
I don't need them both.
Yeah, you don't need that. You don't
but
need
Gus
both.
Edwards and the Chargers, I mean, they're going to run the ball effectively.
They might yes,
not,
they are.
They might not pass to running backs. Might not be great for PPR leagues, but whatever.
Get some touchdowns.
I needed a little more depth at running back.
All right.
I flipped my depth, as
I mean,
they say.
He is their starting running back. There's a rookie that some people like, though. They're Kamani Vidal, I think his name is.
Yep.
So just keep. He's like a day three guy, though, so just keep an eye on him. Also, remember earlier in camp, Jarrett Patterson was getting first-team reps. So the competition shouldn't be that bad for Edwards to win.
They also have J.K. Dobbins.
And they have I thought he was really good at one point in time, but isn't that dude got to be shot?
Injuries have been a problem, but he's been a great explosive runner and this Harbaugh offense. Like, we'll see.
You give me the starting running back though in a Greg Roman offense, and usually that's going to go pretty well. I think
he is listed as the starter on the depth chart. I don't know if he'll land there. He'll
all
finish
right.
there.
All yeah, right. I like it.
803-0550. When we get back. Got a bunch of stuff to get to. Tua's comments on Brian Flores versus Mike McDaniel.
Yep.
I mean, that does a lot of damage to Brian Flores. He'll never be a head coach again with all the
no,
things that you would say. That'll just never
so.
Happen.
He's speaking today, by the way.
Flores
is.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, good luck. Bill Barnwell has his five teams most ready for improvement this year. Who are the five teams that are going
to
tick way up in the standings or whatever? Just be better teams than they were last year. There's one answer that is quite fun.
Okay.
Maybe fun's the wrong word. So we'll get to that as well. Sal at 7, Evan Lazar on the Patriots at 8:30 as we take you through this fall-like chilly? Not brisk.
Crispy.
I'll go with it might be
crispy.
What's the humidity? It might be crispy.
I think it's crispy out.
Okay. Crispy. Yeah. It's a crispy morning. It's chilly. I wore shorts, but I also did wear a jacket. So for whatever that's worth, there you go. There's the clothing report on going outside. I did not turn the heat on in my car, though, because it's nice out.
Yeah, I didn't do that
It's
either.
Nice enough. Jeremy and Joe, I'm going to get you those five teams and one that is perhaps a surprise to see on this list. The five teams ready to improve, ready to win more games than they did last year. 803-0550 to join us on the injuries, on the preseason, on what on earth Saturday's game could look like with backups and just run them for the bus. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
I can't wait to play Josh Allen. I need a Josh Allen jersey really bad.
What do you mean?
I don't want to trade jerseys with him. I love Josh
Allen. How
does
that go? You ask him, he asks you. Is it like a prearranged thing before the game?
Josh, will you trade jerseys with me? Thanks.
I think he will.
Now it's prearranged.
George Kittle. They play December 1st. Primetime game at the stadium. Look for a jersey swap.
Are you watching the Receiver documentary on Netflix?
I've seen two episodes.
Okay. That's about the same for me. I don't know why I'm not as interested in it as I was for quarterback last year. Kind of feels like a little bit of a been there, done that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I've already seen Amon-Ra St. Brown in Hard Knocks, too. So, like, that piece has already been... I've already seen that.
Kittle's a guy you've seen plenty.
Kittle, you see everywhere.
Yeah.
I get my George Kittle content. I get my fix.
I guess it's Justin Jefferson that's the real draw there. The biggest draw. He's, you know, one of the best receivers in football.
Yes.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Yeah. It's tough. Like, what are you supposed to watch? There's too much.
There is Bears Hard Knocks, but I haven't seen. Have you seen any clips even that have gone like viral from that?
No. The Giants one had a lot more.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything interesting that's come out of the Bears one. There's so much of it at this point that it's not even really. You know, you can skip three of them, and you probably feel like you're not really missing out on anything.
Before we get back to football in a moment. So, Montreal trades for Laine.
Yes.
Should the Sabres have done that? What's the equivalent move? They trade Ryan Johnson and a second-round pick? A good young defenseman, NHL defenseman and a second-round pick? Should they have done that?
Well, no, you would be getting the second-round pick.
Oh, sorry, right, yeah, right.
Because
of the contract,
so
yes.
Yeah. Here's how I think of a trade like that. When you're trading for a super expensive scorer that hasn't scored 30 goals in 5 years, it kind of reeks of desperation for a top six forward, but shouldn't the Sabres be desperate for a top six forward right now? So, in a way, 2 years left, yeah, they probably should have done that. There's a spot for him in the lineup, mm-hmm. right? Whose spot is he taking? Jason Zucker's on the second line or on the first line? So, I would have been okay if they had made that trade. I'm not surprised they didn't want to spend $8.7 million
no,
on him, but
not at all.
Buying out Skinner.
From the moment they bought out Skinner, I thought that money was going to go, to kind of nowhere.
Yeah.
They're going to keep the cap space open and just not do it. Maybe they're doing what the Bills are doing, which is, it's very different because the expectations are very different, but the Bills have a little bit of space that they can play with around the deadline.
Yeah.
And the Sabres, if they want to, they'll have as much space as they do. If they wanted to at the deadline, they could do something.
Yeah.
And that would cost less actual dollars. By then you're in March.
Yeah. Yeah. I said he hasn't scored 30 in 5 years. He scored 22 and 55 and 26 and 56.
Okay.
He had 2 years where if he had stayed healthy or been on the ice, he would have got the 30.
Yeah.
But he's not the 45 goal scorer that he was earlier in his career. Not right now. So, I don't know. I would have felt like, okay, all right, you're trying, would have been my thought. You're really trying to be good if you had traded for Patrick Laine. Like, Montreal's trying to be good, aren't they, by making this deal?
It's funny that the way this division goes. You've got Detroit and Ottawa and Montreal that none of them have really had much more success than the Sabres in the last 5 years.
No, it's been a top four and a bottom four.
Yeah.
Pretty split.
But you do have all four of those teams. Again, this might be a credit to the Sabres, maybe not. Those teams have tried a lot harder to get good right now. Like, the Sabres have been very patient. Whereas last year, Detroit goes in, they sign a bunch of free agents.
Mm-hmm. They signed Kane
right in
the middle
Ottawa
of the season.
Ottawa has done this. Ottawa's trade for Chychrun, trade for...
Both those teams traded for DeBrincat.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking of. So both those teams have made win-now moves. All four of those teams have made a lot more win-now moves. And outside of Montreal going to the cup final in a fake COVID kind of tournament.
Yeah.
Outside of that, they're all stuck in the same life. Top four, bottom four.
Yeah, they're just living the life where they know they're not as good as Tampa, Toronto, Boston, or Florida.
Yeah. All right, back to football. 803-0550. So I asked you a question. Bill Barnwell has at ESPN the five teams ready to win more games this year.
Okay.
Right, who's going to win
more than they did last year?
Yep. Who's going to win more than they did last year?
All right.
I won't ask you to just get them all. We'll go through them, and you can go ahead and tell me if you like the list. Who's going to win more than last year?
He's got the... let me get one guess in there. He's got the Jets in there, doesn't he?
He does not have the Jets in there.
Okay, because they only won 7 last year.
Yeah, he doesn't have the Jets.
All right.
He does have one team in the AFC East.
He has the Dolphins?
He has the Patriots.
The Patriots winning more than 4?
Winning more than 4, yes. Patriots.
Oh, okay. What are they going to win, 6?
Maybe.
I don't know how much higher I can really think they could go.
5's all it would take.
Okay, right.
He has 2 AFC teams. I'm sorry, 3 AFC teams.
Okay.
And 2 NFC teams. The NFC teams are Washington.
Okay.
Ready to win more games. They've got Jaden Daniels. They just named him their starter. They won four games last year.
Yep. I love that.
Daniels is exciting. Like, I'm.
Yes.
They are watchable.
They are. Do you know what the beginning of their schedule is also?
No.
They have a pretty easy start, comparatively speaking. They start Tampa, Giants, Bengals, Cardinals, Browns.
Okay.
Like, they don't really play, like, a great team. Then they have Carolina 2 weeks later. They play Baltimore in October, but otherwise, they have a very, like, back half is where they, if they're alive by the middle portion of the season, they're going to have a tough stretch after that.
Well, he does include as one of the reasons these teams are going to win more games as strength of schedule.
Okay.
And Washington has the 11th easiest.
Okay.
So he has Washington will win more games. Arizona will win more games. Arizona has middle schedule. They won four games last year.
Yep.
If Kyler Murray starts, their offense looks fairly loaded. Arizona will win more than four. I don't think that's controversial.
I like that one a lot.
I like that pick plenty.
Yep.
The AFC teams. I mentioned New England.
Mm-hmm.
He has the Chargers will win more than five.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Chargers, Commanders, Cardinals, and Patriots. All these teams won 4 to 5 games last year as his picks for who will win more games this year.
Is that the list?
No, there's one more
team. There's one more?
Yes.
Okay, because so far what Bill Barnwell has done is he just picked all the worst teams in the league except for Carolina.
Right.
From last year.
That's right.
I think those were the next four bet worst records other than the Panthers last year.
You want to guess the fifth team?
Does he have the Panthers?
No.
Okay. Because that was only two. That's amazing that he wouldn't not pick him to win more. Yeah.
He does not. This is the one to talk about.
Okay, I have a guess.
Okay.
I have a guess. He is the Chiefs.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, he has the Chiefs.
They won,
of course he does.
They won
of course he does.
11 games
yep.
last year.
Yep.
They have the 8th easiest schedule.
Do they really?
Yes.
The 8th easiest schedule.
They won
schedule.
11 games last year, and he has them one of the five teams that will win more than they did last year.
All right.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Is he wrong?
Probably not. Right?
He's probably not wrong. He's probably not wrong. They're probably a better team. Well, how sure are we right now that they are definitely better at their biggest problem, which was receiver last year?
Or if you just say offense, I bet their offense is much improved from last year. Yeah.
Okay. Because at the moment, because Marquise Brown is hurt, the only difference personnel-wise on their offense is Xavier Worthy. But that's not nothing. It's Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
But he right now is he's the sole difference on their offense. I think everything else is the same. But they have Worthy.
Yep. Because Brown's hurt. And Rice is not looking like he's getting suspended.
That's the other part of it, right.
So, okay. And they don't have MVS, who might be a net negative for a lot of these teams.
The old addition by subtraction.
That's a real one.
That's a real addition by subtraction. Yeah. He ran a lot of they're empty calorie routes, we call those in the fantasy world.
Okay.
He runs a lot of routes and gets no targets.
A lot of clear outs?
Yes. Yep.
So anyway, there you go. Bill Barnwell has the Chiefs. Bobby in Niagara Falls. Bobby, good morning.
Hi, Jer. Hi, Joe. As I'm eating a Hershey bar so early in the morning, wow. I'm thinking to myself that you guys said Joe Brady's got to be a witch. But I also think, let Sean McDermott turn the corner now and show that he's special, different than other coaches, that he's an elite coach, and let him do something special to show to really excel his career. That's what I think. And maybe we can really see what he's made of this year. And the other thing I want to say is, personally, I'm going to pray that the Bills get help. That's what I'm going to do too.
The thing about McDermott, okay, I like this point, Bobby, and how would McDermott prove that he's turned a corner? What corner would it be? For McDermott to be thought of as an elite coach, what would have to happen? Because I'd like to make this statement. He will get no credit for their offense. He never does.
Yep.
He never gets any credit for the offense they play. Should he? How much should he get? He does not coordinate the offense. He doesn't call the plays.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of Bills fans that would think that he might get in the way of how an offensive coordinator wants to game plan. True or not, I'm just saying, like, that's a perception.
Yep.
The adding of players to their offense, if you think they are lacking in that department, he gets blamed for that. So
I would want to give him some credit.
If they have the number one offense in football this year, you're going to give Sean McDermott credit?
I'll give him credit for having Joe Brady in the building.
Okay.
Because to me, one big part of his job as a defensive-minded coach in an offensive league is you better be darn good at identifying who your play caller is. You better be great at it. You better and you have to do it all the time. Andy Reid doesn't have to do that all the time because he's calling the plays for life.
Right.
He doesn't have to worry about...
He lets Matt Nagy walk out the door and never. And who cares?
This is a point I've seen made about Dan Campbell. Is Dan Campbell going to be able to identify... I think there's a guy in their building already that he has kind of handpicked for this. Preparing for Ben Johnson getting a head coaching job. Like, Dan Campbell's already thinking about the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't... Maybe Brady was that when the Bills brought him in. I don't know.
Okay.
But McDermott not being an offensive play caller, a big part of his job is you better be rock solid at identifying who that guy is.
Right now,
I feel like he's 2 for 4.
Okay, 2 for 4.
If I'm giving Brady a... He missed on the first guy. What was his name?
Rick Dennison.
That was bad.
I mean, that was a transitional kind of thing.
Dable was a hit. He didn't know Dable, right?
No, he did not.
He just said, I'm going to go get that Alabama offensive coordinator.
Did they hire the guy that had Buffalo connections?
Also that. Okay, right. But am I not going to give him credit for that?
I don't know. I tend to think that McDermott gets almost no credit for the offense. So as Bobby says, McDermott can show us he's elite.
Mm-hmm.
How would he do that? Having the best defense? He's done that before.
Mm-hmm.
He consistently has the best defense. I would say the only way you can do it is you get into a playoff game and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs score like 13 points. That's it.
Yeah.
McDermott can do a lot of things. He has done a lot of things. He has been very good. But it's a lot of like...
He's got to stop Mahomes.
He's got to get into a playoff game and shut down Burrow.
Yeah.
He's got to get into a playoff game and let's say
he is one of those. He shut down Lamar. But that's... Of the playoff games, that's it.
But doesn't everybody shut down Lamar in the playoffs? Isn't that part of the story?
That is part of the story.
It's almost like over time that shutting down of Lamar...
It looks less and less impressive.
It happened, and I'm not saying it's unimpressive, but it's not like nobody shuts down Mahomes in the playoffs except for Lou Anarumo one time in Tampa when they were injured. Nobody... Same with Burrow. Burrow has lost to the Chiefs, in overtime or by a field goal at the end of the AFC Championship game?
Yep.
He's been hurt.
Yeah, Lamar's played 6 playoff games. His team has scored more than 20 points one time.
Okay, so...
The Houston game. That's it.
Past
playoff.
It's almost like in week 5, if the Bills are to play Houston and lose 35-31.
Yeah.
Okay, Stroud and the Texans are real. Then they meet in the playoffs and they hold them to 16, right? I need a signature defensive performance from the head coach. What else could it be? Anybody got any ideas? You could just, of course, win the Super Bowl. But if they win it with their offense, there are still people that would probably, not me, but...
He won't get credit for that, but shouldn't he get some if they have another great offense and they have another good... If Brady's a good coordinator?
Of course, he'd be worthy of some. My question is, how many Bills fans give him credit for anything they do offensively? Does he get credit for the development of Kincaid and Shakir? Or is that Brady that figured that out? I mean, McDermott might have identified that not enough was happening under Dorsey and makes the move to fire them.
Right.
Of course, when he fires Dorsey and goes to Joe Brady, it's off of one of his mistakes. I guess it's his mistake. It's probably saying Matthew Smiley's mistake.
I wonder, right now, there are some head coaches in the league that seem to have very little to do with X's and O's, and that gets talked about. Like Tomlin. I've heard this repeatedly for a couple of years, that he's more of a CEO now than he is an X's and O's guy.
Right, that's how Matt Canada kept that job forever.
Yep. And Dan Campbell's been talked about that way in Detroit. And Harbaugh is talked about that way with the Chargers. That's not really McDermott, though, right?
No, he called plays last year.
He called plays defensively. But I don't know, will there be a transition for him? Isn't that kind of the point the coordinator or the caller is getting to where... I don't know, is McDermott eventually going to grow into more of a, I'm just the coach. I'm the CEO guy at the top. It's the coordinator's jobs to figure out the X's and O's and the style of the game plan and whatnot week to week. I'm kind of just the head of it all. Because that happens to coaches, right? But how they get credit, the longer they're in a place, the more I feel like they kind of get credit for everything. You know, like Tomlin was a defensive-minded coach, but because he's been there for 15 years, doesn't he now get more attached to his own offense than he probably would have 12 years ago?
Yeah, that might
when
be
he
right.
was the, oh, this guy was just defensive coordinator. Belichick. Belichick was certainly this at the end in New England where he got blamed for his offense.
Right.
Because, yeah, okay, you were defensive-minded.
I think you get
you've been a head coach for 15 for 20 years.
But I think that's the nature of it. As a defensive coach, you get blamed for offensive problems, but you don't get credit for offensive success. You rarely do. Should Andy Reid get a lot of credit for having the number one defense in Kansas City last year? You don't hear him get much credit. Right.
No, Spagnuolo does.
Spagnuolo and Brett Veach do.
Yep.
Anyway, football. That's football. Jeremy and Joe. Sal joining us top of the hour. We'll go through the injuries, the plans. We'll see if there's anybody new coming in, what the plan is at receiver. And, of course, Anthony Brown, newest Bills quarterback, will at least help get them through this week when they don't play any starters against Carolina in the final preseason game. 803-0550 to join us on WGR. U.S. gold medal sprinter Noah Lyles says he'll do it. Tyreek Hill's agent has to call him, set it up, let's go, basically. Said Tyreek Hill's chasing clout, kind of doesn't believe he's serious about challenging him to that race.
He also, I guess, sparked the NBA world again.
Oh, great.
Against him because he said he doesn't know who Jokic is.
All right. Oh, you're not allowed to do that. Okay. Sal, when we get back, I'm deciding whether or not I want that Tyreek Hill, Noah Lyles race to happen. I initially said yes. I might be backing off that. To me, it's like Alabama playing, you know, the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers shouldn't do it. Nothing to gain here. Nothing to gain for Noah Lyles. Only something to lose. And the entire NFL world to believe that Tyreek Hill could, like, win the Olympic gold when he couldn't. Mm-hmm. But he pulls a hamstring. People would say he'd faked it. Shouldn't do it. Jeremy and Joe, Sal on the other side, the injuries, the updates, and the plan for this week and moving forward, how the Bills can respond to so many injuries up and down the roster, safety, receiver, and quarterback, backup quarterback, in the mix here. So stay tuned. We'll get Sal's take on it all on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.